Well, welcome, my friends, to The Catholic Reason, a radio production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where we think through various claims made by the Catholic Church concerning issues of faith, morality, and culture, and provide reasons behind those claims. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers at Catholic.com, and a member of the Chancery Evangelization Team here at the Diocese of Tulsa in eastern Oklahoma. The Catholic Reason airs locally here in Tulsa every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. on St. Michael Catholic Radio 94.9 and 102.9, but you may be listening on your own local Catholic radio station at a different time since The Catholic Reason is aired on other stations throughout the country. So if you're joining me from outside the Tulsa area, welcome, and I appreciate you being with me today. Note, as always, you can download the show through whichever podcast platform you use by subscribing to the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. That's the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. You can also access the archived episodes at my website, carlobroussard.com, under both the audio and video tab. And be sure to check out all the other great resources that I have available for you on my website, carlobroussard.com, videos, other podcasts that I do for Catholic Answers, articles. I have some online short courses, as well as in the shortly to come, subscription plans, what we're going to call Apologetics Plus. So by the time this episode airs, my subscription plans for different levels of membership may very well be available on my website at carlobroussard.com. So be sure to check out that for some great extra apologetical content. In a previous episode, we looked at some challenges to the early papacy, specifically a challenge from Clement's use of we, the first person plural, in his first century letter to the Corinthians, as well as Ignatius of Antioch's lack of mentioning the Bishop of Rome in his letter to the Romans, dating there at the beginning of the second century to about AD 107 or 110. Now, both challenges were presented as evidence for one thesis, that there was no single bishop who governed the Church of Rome in the first and early to mid second century. Now, this serves as a challenge to the early papacy because the Catholic claim of the papacy involves Peter's headship being part and parcel of Christ's church and a permanent institution located in, residing in, the Bishop of Rome. Robert Eno, former professor of church history at the Catholic University of America, puts the challenge to the early papacy this way in his book, The Rise of the Papacy. Here's what he writes on pages 28 through 29. In the first century and into the second, there was no Bishop of Rome in the usual sense given to that title. If there were no Bishop of Rome, well then in what sense can one speak of a Petrine succession? And Eno gets it right here. Petrine succession, succeeding succession of St. Peter in the bishopric of Rome, is part and parcel of the Catholic claim of the papacy. Similarly, Kenneth J. Collins and Jerry Walls, on page 242 of their book, Roman but Not Catholic, What Remains at Stake 500 Years After the Reformation, argue that papal infallibility cannot be true since the episcopacy and apostolic succession, quote, appeared sometime in the second century at the earliest, not the first century, where Rome needed it for the establishment of its papal office in Peter. Now, there are a couple of other lines of evidence that some have proposed as confirmation of the thesis that there was no single bishop of Rome in the first to mid-second century. Recall, in a previous episode, we looked at two lines of evidence: Clement's use of the first person plural we in his letter to the Corinthians, and Ignatius of Antioch's lack of mentioning the Bishop of Rome in the early second century. Now, these lines of evidence that we're going to look at in today's episode, we're going to look at two of them. Both lines of evidence come from an early Christian document called The Shepherd, written by a freed Roman Christian named Hermas. And the document dates from as early as AD 70 to AD 55-ish. So sometime within that time frame. And as we go through the rest of the episode, you'll see how some scholars want to date it on the earlier side. Other scholars want to date it on the later side of that time frame. So what I'd like to do today is look at these two lines of evidence from Hermas's The Shepherd. Again, two lines of evidence that are proposed or offered to support the thesis or the claim that there was no single bishop of Rome in the first and early to mid second century. Okay, so we'll dive right in here with the first line of evidence, which comes from a quote taken from book three of the Shepherd, Similitude 9, chapter 27, where Hermas receives instruction as to what the 10th mountain among the 12 that he sees in the vision means. And here's what we read, quote, "And from the 10th mountain where were trees which overshadowed certain sheep, they who believed were the following, bishops given to hospitality, who always gladly received into their houses the servants of God without dissimulation. And the bishops never failed to protect by their service the widows and those who were in want, and always maintained a holy conversation. All these accordingly shall be protected by the Lord forever. They who do these things are honorable before God, and their place is already with the angels if they remain to the end serving God." Notice the messenger in the vision speaks of bishops in the plural. From this detail, some have argued that the church in Rome, at the time the vision is given and written down, again, anywhere from AD 70 to 155, didn't have a single bishop governing the church of Rome, but rather a plurality of bishops. New Testament scholar, biblical scholar, Raymond Brown makes this argument in chapter 2, in the chapter entitled Part 2, Rome, in Antioch and Rome, New Testament Cradles of Catholic Christianity, written by Raymond Brown and John Meyer. So how might we respond to this argument, appealing to this particular detail in The Shepherd of Hermas? Well, first, what Hermas sees in these visions involving 12 mountains at this point in The Shepherd is interpreted as a reference to the quote-unquote Church of God, which seemingly refers to the church at large and not specifically the local church in Rome. The title that's actually given by the various translations for the ninth similitude from which this quote we're examining comes is The Great Mysteries in the Building of the Militant and Triumphant Church. So the editors put that title within the ninth similitude, suggesting that it is a reasonable read of the text that this is referring to the Church of God at large, not specifically the local church in Rome. And this actually fits with what Hermas says elsewhere about the general office of bishops within the church. Check out Vision 3, Chapter 5. It reads as follows, quote, "Those square white stones, which fitted exactly into each other, are apostles, bishops, teachers, and deacons, who have lived in godly purity and have acted as bishops and teachers and deacons chastely and reverently to the elect of God." Again, that's Shepherd of Hermas, Vision 3, Chapter 5. The interpreter of the vision here speaks of bishops in the plural in the same sense as he speaks of apostles in the plural. Now, surely there weren't apostles in the plural in the Church of Rome at the time this vision is given and written down. Therefore, apostles must be referring to the apostolic office in the church at large. So too, bishops, plural, must refer to the office of bishop in the church at large, like bishops throughout the universal church, not necessarily bishops throughout the church in Rome. Now, given that we have reason to think that bishops in the plural is referring to the bishops in the church at large and throughout the church at large, the mention of bishops in the plural itself is not evidence for a collective leadership of bishops in the Church of Rome at the time the visions were given to Hermas and written down in the Shepherd. You can't conclude a plurality of leaderships simply based on this one detail of bishops in the plural, because the hidden assumption is that this is referring to bishops throughout the church in Rome, but a reasonable reading of the text can lead us to the conclusion that this is speaking of bishops throughout the church at large, the office of bishop, and many men who hold that office throughout the church at large, just like there are apostles, plural, within the church and throughout the church at large, just as there are teachers and deacons in the plural, as the shepherd was mentioning, throughout the church at large. So there's no clear-cut reason why we should read bishops in the plural to refer specifically to the local church in Rome. Now, there's a second response here, right? So our first response is just trying to diffuse the challenge and show that this one detail cannot be a proof text in support of the thesis that we're talking about a plurality of bishops leading the Church of Rome, because it seems to be talking about the Church of God at large. Now, there's a second response, namely that the historical record actually speaks of a single bishop of Rome, regardless of when we date the shepherd in between 70 and 155 AD. But we're going to have to look at that evidence on the other side of the break. Friends, you're listening to The Catholic Reason. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard. More to come on the other side. Well, welcome back, my friends, to The Catholic Reason. If you're just joining me in today's episode, we're talking about a few more challenges to the early papacy, specifically lines of evidence, details that are found in this ancient Christian document known as The Shepherd, written by Hermas, a freed Roman who this document is attributed to, where he has certain visions. And one line of evidence that we've been considering so far is there that in the vision, in one of the visions that Hermas receives, the interpreter of the vision speaks of bishops in the plural. And some Christians have interpreted that to be referring to a plurality of bishops throughout the Church of Rome, the Church in Rome, and conclude based on that detail that within the first and early to mid-second century, when the shepherd is dated anywhere from AD 70 to AD 155, that there were a plurality of bishops governing the church in Rome, not a single bishop, like the Catholic claim of the papacy would necessarily entail. And so this would seem to be evidence against the Catholic claim of an early papacy, a succession to St. Peter in the bishopric of Rome, having this sort of universal authority to govern the whole Church of God. And so in response, we gave one response, namely that the assumption in the objection or the argument is that the vision of the bishops in plural was speaking of bishops in the local church in Rome. But there is reason to think that vision was speaking of bishops throughout the church at large, universally speaking. And one reason for thinking that is because the vision also speaks of apostles, deacons, and teachers in the plural. Well, surely there were not apostles in plural form, like a plurality of apostles, within the church at Rome. And so it's reasonable to conclude that this is referring to the church at large. And so too with the bishops in the plural. Now, as I mentioned before the break, there is a second response that we can give here, and that is the historical record testifies to there being a single bishop of Rome, a successor to St. Peter, at the time periods when the shepherd of Hermas is thought to be written, in between AD 70 and AD 55, when the visions are given and when it's written. And so I'd like to look at some of that historical evidence with you to see what the historical record says. So let's go ahead and start with the first dating of the shepherd, right? So remember, we said anywhere from AD 70 to AD 55. Well, some scholars date the shepherd from anywhere as AD 140 to 155, okay? Well, the historical record tells us that there was, in fact, a single bishop of Rome at that time. And that piece of evidence comes from the Muratorian fragment. The Muratorian fragment contains the oldest list of New Testament books that were believed to be inspired at the time. And notably, as a side note, it leaves out Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, and 2 Peter, and includes the false writing of the Apocalypse of Peter. So it's not the exact canonical list that we have in our books today, but it's the earliest listing of books believed to be inspired. And that Muratorian fragment dates to this time frame of AD 40 to 155. Now, the fragment includes a statement that refers to Hermas, the writer of The Shepherd. And it gives us a hint as to its dating. That is, the dating of The Shepherd. Here's what the fragment states, quote, "But Hermas wrote The Shepherd, most recently in our time, in the city of Rome, while Bishop Pius, his brother, was occupying the chair of the church of the city of Rome." The chair being the cathedra, the bishopric. "And therefore," it goes on to say, "it ought indeed to be read," that is the shepherd, "but it cannot be read publicly to the people in church, either among the prophets, whose number is complete, or among the apostles, for it is after their time." So what this statement from the Muratorian fragment is saying is that the shepherd ought to be read, seeing in the shepherd that it's beneficial to read for the Christian people, but not to be read publicly in the church along with the other documents considered to be inspired by God. So the Muratorian fragment giving us indication that at this time, some Christians were not viewing the shepherd to be inspired by God, but nevertheless beneficial for reading. But for our purposes, notice the author says Hermas wrote the shepherd at the time when his brother Pius was, quote unquote, occupying the chair of the church of the city of Rome, occupying the chair of the church of Rome. That's to say, the bishopric of Rome. The historical record of the succession of the bishops of Rome tells us that this was Pius I, who reigned from 140 to 155. This is why many scholars date the shepherd to this time period, 140 to 155. Since we know from this historical source that the Church of Rome had a single bishop occupying the chair at the time the shepherd was written, at least at this dating, it follows that the bishops in plural mentioned in the ninth similitude of the shepherd cannot be referring to a plurality of governing bishops in Rome. Rather, like we've already said, it's most likely a reference to bishops within the church at large, men who possess the office of the bishop throughout the church, universally speaking. That is what bishops plural is referring to in the shepherd, not a plurality of leadership in the Church of Rome. Now, our third response is like the second, insofar as it gives evidence for a historical single bishop of Rome at the time the shepherd was written, and at the time the visions would have been given to Hermas. However, this third response differs from the second response as to which single bishop of Rome was reigning at the time the shepherd was written. Let me explain. Some say the shepherd was not written in AD 140 to 155, but rather was written in the first century. And the reason for this claim is that it mentions a man named Clement, whom most think is the same Clement of Rome, the author of the first century letter to the Corinthians. Not Paul's letter to the Corinthians, but the letter to the Corinthians written by one Clement of Rome. Here's the relevant quote from the shepherd. This comes from Book 2, Vision 2, Chapter 4. And this is the J.B. Lightfoot translation. "Thou shalt therefore write two little books, and shall send one to Clement and one to Grapte." And if I'm butchering the pronunciation of that name, I apologize. So Clement shall send, here's the rest of the quote. So Clement shall send to the foreign cities, for this is his duty, while Grapte shall instruct the widows and the orphans. Thou shalt therefore write two little books, and shall send one to Clement and one to Grapte. So Clement shall send to the foreign cities for... Actually, this that's the same quote. I double quoted there. So I apologize for that. So what we have here is Clement given a book, one of the two books written of the visions, to be sent to foreign cities because that's his duty. Okay. Now, if this is Clement of Rome from the first century, the author of the letter to the Corinthians, well, then the shepherd was written in the first century. The visions were received and written in the first century, anywhere from AD 70 to AD 97. The reason for this date range is that Clement of Rome was probably, most scholars say, a secretary of sorts in the Church of Rome around AD 70. And according to the historical record, he was Bishop of Rome from AD 88 to 97, the third successor to St. Peter, the fourth bishop. If the shepherd was written at the time when Clement was a secretary of sorts in the Church of Rome, before he became Bishop of Rome, circa AD 70, well then the shepherd would have been written at the time of Pope Linus, the immediate successor to St. Peter as the Bishop of Rome, who reigned from AD 67 to 76, according to his historical record. And we know this from the succession list from Irenaeus, who in his Against Heresies writes, the blessed apostles then, having founded and built up the church, and he's talking about Peter and Paul, founded and built up, committed into the hands of Linus the office of the episcopate. So notice Irenaeus affirming that Linus succeeds Peter, who founded the Church of Rome, thereby being the Bishop of Rome, Linus succeeding in that bishopric, that office of the episcopate. As Irenaeus says, of this Linus, he goes on, Paul makes mention in the epistles to Timothy. To him, to Linus, succeeded Anacletus. And after Anacletus, in the third place from the apostles, Clement was allotted the bishopric. That's from Book 3, Chapter 3 of Irenaeus's Against Heresies. If, however, the shepherd was written at the time when Clement was Bishop of Rome, which would have been in between 88 to 97, well, then the single bishop of Rome would have been, of course, Clement. The single bishop of Rome, when Hermas received the visions and it is written, would have been Clement. And that would seem to fit and map on with the instruction for Clement to send the book out to the foreign cities because that is his duty. Well, if he is the Bishop of Rome and it's understood to have, he's understood to be sort of universal shepherd, well, then it would make sense that he would send the visions to all the foreign cities. But even as a secretary of Rome, that would make sense as well. So according to the historical record, regardless of where we date the shepherd in the first century, there would have been a single Bishop of Rome at the time the shepherd was written, at the time the visions were received and it was written. This being the case, the bishops, plural, can't be evidence that there's no single bishop of Rome at the time the shepherd was written. This is not a detail that supports. In fact, it contradicts the historical record, this idea that there was no single bishop governing the Church of Rome. Folks, I'm coming up on my next break. Stay tuned, more to come on the other side. Well, welcome back, my friends, to The Catholic Reason, a radio production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers at Catholic.com and a member of the Chancery Evangelization Team here at the Diocese of Tulsa in eastern Oklahoma. In today's episode, we're looking at some more challenges to the early papacy, specifically challenges that come from an ancient Christian document called the Shepherd of Hermas, which involves a first, second century freed Roman who receives a variety of different visions. And in one of those visions, it speaks of bishops in the plural. And many Christians have appealed to that detail and inferred from it that in the first and early to mid-second century, the church in Rome was governed by a plurality of bishops, and not a single bishop. And if the Church of Rome was not governed by a single bishop in the first and early to mid-second century, well, then the Catholic claim of an early papacy is falsified. Because part and parcel of the Catholic claim of the papacy is that there were men who succeeded St. Peter in the bishopric of Rome. Petrine succession in the bishopric of Rome is essential to our understanding of the papacy. So in response, so for in the first two segments of today's episode, we responded, first of all, that the objection assumes that the vision is talking about bishops in the plural in the church in Rome, in the Church of Rome. But there's evidence to suggest that where it speaks of bishops in the plural, it's speaking of the church at large. It talks about the church of God. And at some places in the vision where it speaks of bishops in the plural, it also speaks of apostles in the plural. Since we know that at the time Hermas was receiving the visions and putting them down in writing, that there were not multiple apostles governing or leading the Church of Rome, we can conclude that it must be referring to apostles throughout the church at large. And therefore, consequently, it must be referring to bishops in the plural throughout the church at large, the church universally speaking. And then we also responded and said, well, the historical record shows that there was a single bishop of Rome, which falsifies the claim that there was no single bishop of Rome. So we have evidence that goes against the very conclusion that the objection makes, that there was a single bishop in the Church of Rome, regardless of when you date the shepherd, whether in the earliest dating of AD 70 or the later dating of AD 140 to 155. With the later dating, according to the Muratorian fragment, we know that the single bishop of Rome would have been Pius I, which the Muratorian fragment says was the brother of Hermas who wrote the Shepherd. If we go with the earlier dating of the Shepherd in AD 70, well then, if it's AD 70, the single bishop of Rome, according to Irenaeus and his listing of the successors to St. Peter in the bishopric of Rome and his against heresies, would have been Linus. And even if the Shepherd was written later in the first century, in mid-80s to late 80s and early 90s, well, then the single bishop of Rome would have been Clement, because the vision in the Shepherd does mention one man named Clement who's to send one of the books of the visions to all the foreign cities because that's his duty. So whether it's Clement when he's a secretary of sorts in the Church of Rome in AD 70, you would have the single bishop of Linus, or if this Clement is the bishop of Rome at the time the visions are being received in AD 88 to 97, well, then Clement would have been the single bishop of Rome. So the conclusion that this argument makes, there is no single bishop of Rome in the first or early to mid-second century, on account of this detail of bishops in the plural, simply contradicts or is refuted by the historical record. Now, here's a fourth response, okay? So if you've been counting, we've given three responses so far. The detail of the Church of God seems to be referring to the church at large, universally speaking. Response number two, if we go with the later dating, the single bishop of Rome would have been Pius I. If we go with the earlier datings of the shepherd, it would have been either Linus or Clement of Rome. Now, a fourth response is that we can have multiple bishops in a large city. That does not undermine or conflict with the papal claim or the Catholic claim of the papacy, right? So let's grant, for argument's sake, that the bishops plural mentioned in the ninth similitude is a reference to the bishops in the city of Rome. Let's just grant that for argument's sake. Even with such a concession, it doesn't necessarily follow that there's no single bishop of Rome that governs the rest. It doesn't follow that there's no single bishop of Rome to whom the other bishops throughout the city must submit to. And the reason is that it could be there were multiple bishops spread throughout the city governing individual Christian churches, small t, much like a priest oversees a parish. And these bishops would still be subject to the single bishop of Rome within the Catholic framework. So the bishops plural is not incompatible with the Catholic view of the papacy within this first or early to mid-second century. And this is reasonable. This idea that there would be many bishops throughout the city of Rome, this is reasonable given the size of the city of Rome, which was about 14 square miles, not counting outlying areas, and with a population of about 1 million people. In fact, some have suggested that in Rome, there were multiple house churches spread throughout the city, basically parishes, right? Multiple house churches throughout the city. Each of these house churches could very well have been governed by a bishop. German Protestant theologian Peter Lampe, or just Lamp, but I'm thinking Lampe here, if I'm mispronouncing that last name, I apologize. He confirms this idea of multiple house churches throughout Rome in his study on the matter, From Paul to Valencius, Christians in Rome in the First Two Centuries. We also have a biblical hint for this thesis of multiple house churches throughout the city of Rome. For example, in Romans 15:5, Paul gives instruction to, quote, greet also the church in Prisca and Aquila's house. Surely, the Church of Rome was not restricted to the house church of Prisca and Aquila. There must have been others, all of which made up the Church of Rome. So the Church of Rome being constituted by all these individual house churches throughout the city. Now, the Catholic understanding of the papacy doesn't exclude or is not mutually exclusive or incompatible with the idea that there could have been multiple bishops serving these different congregations throughout the city, much like you have bishops serving dioceses throughout a country, right? There's no essential difference between a bishop governing a geographical area that's within the boundaries of a city, a geographical area that is the city itself, or a geographical area that contains multiple cities within it. There's nothing that belongs to the office of a bishop that specifies the exact amount of geographical area that must be governed, or the amount of people governed. In fact, even today, there are multiple bishops within an archdiocese. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles, for example, has Archbishop Gomez, along with bishops, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of these names, Sekredeka and Acklin and Bahuth. So there you have three other bishops serving within the Archdiocese of Los Angeles with Bishop Gomez, a plurality of bishops, but that doesn't mean like they're all on equal footing. I mean, you got Archbishop Gomez. He's making the final decisions for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. You also have the Archdiocese of Washington, which includes Bishops Esposito Garcia and Mengivar Ayala. So if we go with the AD 140 to 155 dating of the shepherd, as I said before, the single bishop of Rome to whom the other bishops throughout the city would be subject would have been Pius I, on assuming that the vision is actually speaking about bishops throughout the city of Rome. If we go with the first century dating of the shepherd, then the single bishop of Rome to whom the bishops throughout the city would be subject to would have been either Linus with an AD 70 dating of the shepherd, or Clement himself. If we go with Clement mentioned being the bishop of Rome at that time, which would have been 88 to 97. So, given the four arguments that I've presented here so far in today's episode, we can conclude that this challenge from the Shepherd of Hermas fails to provide support for the thesis that there was no single bishop in the first to mid-second century. That conclusion simply does not follow from the detail of the bishops in plural, and we actually have evidence to contradict that conclusion, to prove that very conclusion to be false. Okay, now there's another line of evidence from this same source, the Shepherd of Hermas, that some appeal to for support of the thesis that there was no single bishop of Rome in the first to mid-second century. And this evidence comes from the passage that I've already quoted where the messenger speaks of one named Clement. So recall, I quoted that passage, it speaks of Clement, you know, give one of the two books that that is written to Clement, and he's to send the book out to the foreign, make a copy and send the book out to the foreign cities because that's his duty. Now, in that passage, I intentionally left out the last sentence in that quote so that I wouldn't muddy the waters. I wanted to save it for at this point in our discussion and reflection. So here's the quote in full. And I'm looking at the clock here, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to it. Thou shalt therefore write two little books, send one to Clement, one to Grapte. Clement's going to send it to the foreign cities. That's his duty. Grapte shall instruct the widows and orphans. Okay, here, check this out. Thou shalt therefore write these two. Actually, there's a double quote there. But so here's the money quote. But thou shalt read the book to this city along with the elders that preside over the church. That's the key phrase there. Thou shalt read the book to this city, talking about the Church of Rome, the city of Rome, to this city of Rome, along with the elders or presbyters that preside over the church. Notice the instruction given to Hermas here. Read the book to the presbyters that preside over the church. For some, this is clear evidence that there was no single bishop of Rome in the Church of Rome, but it was governed by a leadership, a plurality of presbyters. I got to take a break. More to come on the other side. God bless. Well, welcome back, my friends, to our last and final segment of today's episode of The Catholic Reason, where we are looking at more challenges to the early papacy, specifically some challenges that come from the ancient Christian document called the Shepherd of Hermas, written by one named Hermas, who receives these visions, certain details in these visions that some appeal to try and prove and justify the thesis, the claim, that there was no single bishop of Rome in the first and early to mid-second century. And if that's the case, well, then the Catholic claim of an early papacy and Petrine succession is falsified, and so the papal claims just come crumbling down. We've already looked at one challenge, the challenge that is derived from the detail of the bishops. It mentioned the visions mention the bishops in plural. And I'm not going to rehearse those responses, that objection, and our responses to that objection, because we've done that over the course of the first three segments of today's episode. What I'd like to do now, which is what I already began to do at the end of our last segment before our break, was to shift gears to this second challenge from the shepherd. And as I was mentioning, some appealed to a detail there where it mentions one named Clement. This is a passage I already quoted in today's episode where it speaks of one named Clement and that the book is to be given to Clement, the book of the visions, be given to Clement, and Clement's going to send it to the foreign cities because that's his duty. The other book is going to be given to one named Grapte, and that Grapte is going to instruct widows and orphans. Okay, now there's a certain line in that passage that I left out intentionally previously in order not to muddy the waters. But here's the detail that some appeal to show that the Church of Rome was governed by a plurality of leadership and not a single bishop of Rome. And it reads as thus, but thou shalt read the book. This is the messenger speaking to Hermas. You shall read the book of the visions, the shepherd, to this city, the city of Rome, along with the elders or presbyters that preside over the church. Again, that's book 2, vision 2, chapter 4. That's the Lightfoot translation. Notice the instruction given to Hermas by this aged woman, the messenger in the vision. Read the book to the presbyters that preside over the church. For some, this is evidence that there was no single bishop of Rome at the time Hermas had this vision and put it down in writing. Rather, so it's argued, the Church of Rome was governed by a plurality or college of presbyters. Eno, whom I mentioned earlier in today's episode, in the same book mentioned before, The Rise of the Papacy, on page 27, he actually appeals to this line of reason, this line as well, in The Shepherd, writing thus, the two other documents of relevance are of Roman origin themselves. First is the longest and probably the most unusual, the Apostolic Fathers, The Shepherd of Hermas. What is of interest here are the incidental remarks which mention the leaders of the Christian community in Rome. Leaders, plural. These leaders are usually referred to by such vague titles as the leaders. Sometimes they're called elders, as the elders who are in charge of the church. It's significant to note, he says, that these references are all in the plural. Now, for Eno, this is evidence that, quote, the leadership role in the local Church of Rome was still being exercised collectively before the emergence of a monarchical bishop in Rome. That's on page 26. So notice, Eno appeals to this line in The Shepherd as evidence that the Church of Rome was governed by a college or a group of presbyters or leaders, not a single bishop. So what might we say in response here? Well, the first thing to say is that this statement doesn't necessarily mean there is a council of presbyters, the statement that speaks of presbyters that preside over the church, right? That doesn't necessarily mean there's a council of presbyters instead of a single bishop that oversees the Church of Rome. Elders that preside over the Church of Rome could also simply refer to all the presbyters throughout the city that make up the presbyterate in the city of Rome, all of whom are subject to a single bishop. On this view, they preside over the Church of Rome insofar as they govern and oversee each of their individual communities, which may very well have been the individual house churches that we talked about earlier. And it's these individual presbyters presiding over these individual communities that collectively, or these individual communities collectively, make up the Church of Rome. To state it differently, the Church of Rome, which is constituted by each of the individual communities, is in the care of these presbyters that preside over each of the communities. But in no way does this entail that there's no single bishop who oversees these presbyters that preside, a bishop who entrusts these presbyters with their role to govern their local groups that collectively make up the Church of Rome. So the point here is that we can read the phrase elders that preside over the Church of Rome in a way that doesn't entail a council of presbyters governing the whole Church of Rome. Rather, it could also be read as all of those presbyters who preside over the individual Christian groups throughout the city that constitute and make up the Church of Rome. And in that sense, we can legitimately speak of the presbyters who preside over the Church of Rome. Secondly, even if we concede that this refers to a council of presbyters that govern the Church of Rome as a single entity, it still doesn't follow that there's no single Bishop of Rome, especially when we consider that the Bishop of Rome, as a bishop, is also a presbyter or an elder. A bishop doesn't stop being a priest or a deacon, since it's the bishopric is the fullness of the holy order. For example, I might say Catholic Answers is governed by its team of apologists. Does that mean that Catholic Answers doesn't have a CEO who heads the team and makes the final decisions? No, because the CEO might be an apologist as well. In my statement, for whatever reason, I simply omitted the detail that one of the apologists is the CEO. Similarly, there may very well have been a council of presbyters slash elders that presided over the Church of Rome. But that doesn't mean there was no single bishop of Rome who headed the governing body and made the final decisions, since such a bishop could very well be a presbyter or elder too. And as I already mentioned, according to Catholic theology, a bishop is in fact a presbyter. He doesn't stop being a presbyter when he becomes a bishop. This is no different than St. Peter, an apostle, calling himself a fellow presbyter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. As to the reason why the Bishop of Rome is not mentioned in the vision, well, we don't really know. But that doesn't mean there is no Bishop of Rome. A similar example was found in Acts 15:6 concerning the Council of Jerusalem. Luke tells us the apostles and the elders or presbyters were gathered together to consider this matter. If we were to follow the logic of this challenge from the shepherd, we'd have to conclude that there was no Bishop of Jerusalem at the time of this council, since no such role is mentioned. Luke doesn't mention a role of a bishop. Yet, we have multiple attestation from early sources that James would have been the Bishop of Rome at that time. Hegesippus, a late second century Christian writer, attests to this in the fifth book of his commentaries. St. Jerome, in his On Illustrious Men, quotes Hegesippus, saying, "After the apostles, James, the brother of the Lord, surnamed the Just, was made head of the church at Jerusalem." The early church historian Eusebius, in his Ecclesiastical History, Book 4, Chapter 22, quotes Hegesippus as well, saying the same thing. So we have the testimony of Hegesippus. affirming that James was the Bishop of Rome at the time of the council. Would have been at the time of the council. St. Clement of Alexandria is another historical witness to James being the Bishop of Rome, the Bishop of Jerusalem. Eusebius quotes Clement of Alexandria saying, "Peter and James and John, after the ascension of our Savior, as if also preferred by our Lord, strove not after honor, but chose James the Just, Bishop of Jerusalem." That's from Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History, Book 3, Chapter 1. Now, as to why Luke doesn't tell us explicitly that James was the bishop or there was a role of a bishop, we don't know. But he does record James taking a leadership role at the council and directing some of the proceedings. So just as Luke speaks of a council of leaders at the Council of Jerusalem without denying there is a single bishop of Jerusalem, so too the shepherd could very well be speaking of a council of leaders for the Church of Rome without denying there being a single bishop of Rome. Finally, to conclude from this statement that there was no single bishop of Rome at the time Hermas was having these visions, one would have to deny or reject the historical attestation to there being a single bishop of Rome at the time Hermas was receiving these visions and putting them into writing. I've already looked at a few of the sources, but I think that's a price that a Christian should not be willing to pay, since these sources are trusted on other Christian issues that are multiply attested to in the historical record. So, my friends, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of The Catholic Reason. My claim today is that the Shepherd of Hermas' reference to bishops in the plural and presbyters, plural, presiding over the Church of Rome does not justify the claim that there was no single bishop of Rome in the first to mid-second century. As I argue today, the reference to bishops in the plural doesn't even seem to be referencing the bishops in Rome. And even if it was, it still wouldn't follow that there was no single bishop to which all the bishops throughout the city would be subject. The reference to the presbyters, plural, presiding over the Church of Rome doesn't necessarily entail a council of presbyters together governing the Church of Rome in the place of a single bishop. Rather, it could simply refer to the presbyters spread throughout the city that participate with the Bishop of Rome in the governance of the Church of Rome. Or the message simply includes within the category of presbyters the Bishop of Rome, since he would still be and would have been a presbyter, just one with higher authority. So, my friends, thanks for listening to The Catholic Reason, a production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Remember, you can download the show through whichever podcast platform you use by subscribing to the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. You can access the archived episodes at my website, CorlaBrewsword.com, under the audio and video tab. Check out all the other great stuff I have there. I invite you to join me again next week for The Catholic Reason as we continue looking at Catholic claims and the reasons behind them. Tell a friend. I'll talk to you then. God bless.